Appreciate very much this morning the opportunity to be here again with you. The blessed remarks and eloquent prayer that Brother Hunt has offered, and the blessing last night of hearing the preaching of my good friend, Brother Lathrop, and the good feeling, as our brother has taught us, that we felt when we left. No wonder David could say, "I was glad."
That's right.
When they said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." Something stirs us to a greater service to God, and it's a wonderful experience. Old brother told me one time, and I think about it often, "I wouldn't give you a dime for a religion you can't feed." And I think about that more often now than I ever have. This morning, Lord being my helper, and I assure you I'll be mindful of the time, I want to read to you from Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to begin with verse 6 and read through verse 9. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Several years ago, and some of you that are a little older will remember what I'm talking about, A.P. Carter and his wife, Sarah, and another lady that sang with them, they called her Mother Maybelle, came on the radio starting about at 1928 in the state up in the mountains of Virginia. And they sang a song called Sowing on the Mountain and Reaping in the Valley. I've got a copy of it, an original. I like it. I can play it on the banjo. I can sing the words. But as well as I like it and as good as I can play it, it's just not the truth. Never has been a time when you sowed on the mountain and reaped in the valley. Now I'm going to get back to that, but I want you to keep that for a thought. The very first verse of this text says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The word communicate here does not just mean to talk or communicate with one another. But the word communicate here means that we are in a financial way to aid and assist those that teach those who are in individual congregations. Now I want to prove that to you. From the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 15, notice the terminology that Paul uses to this church called Philippi. And the church at Philippi is probably one of the most orthodox churches that you will read about in the New Testament. One of the most faithful, one of the most stable. Can't even be compared to the church at Corinth in its authenticity and its stability. Listen how he begins by commending this church. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What a statement. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could be said of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church? The church that I pastored and have for nearly 50 years, Zion Hill Primitive Baptist Church. And just for your information, you know, we've had about 10 to join in the last month. And we are thankful for that. But I wish that I could hear the Lord say that you're blessed, but I wish that I could hear others say I thank God upon every remembrance of you. That'd be the greatest compliment that could ever be paid to you, Brother Will. And to you, Brother Carey, to Brother Harold, to Brother Virgil, and those of you who are so faithful, and these young men coming up like Brother Stewart. I'm thankful for you. And I hope that in days to come, and that many of you here that I've known for many years, that I can truly say that I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. But listen to what Paul said in his closing remarks in verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, and ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This was the only body of baptized believers when Paul departed from Macedonia that cared for him in a physical and a timely way. And he didn't ask them for it. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now let me just say this. If you can hire a man to preach, you can hire him to quit. Did y'all get that? You're supposed to say amen right there. Now, I'm saying that to you because support of the ministry in the Bible is taught just as much as salvation by grace. And don't you forget that. That's the timely aspect of our sacrifice. I'm going to give you one more before I go further. And I want you to notice in Hebrews 13. When Paul says again, beginning with verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, you don't have to have a degree to understand what that says. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And I'll tell you, when you understand that, I don't care what kind of sacrifice you make in the kingdom of God, God is well pleased with it. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, I'm saying that because there's a principle involved here in sowing and reaping. Now, the verse 7 says here, be not deceived. Now, don't you be drawn off. All right? Now, you know, there are a lot of deceivers in the world today. They paint a good picture of most things. A lot of them are very eloquent in speech. A lot of them have a good system about what they do. But I want to tell you right now, inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Outwardly, they may show some things that appeal to us. And we all know people like that. But I'll tell you, there's an old saying, and it identifies with the Bible itself, that there are many that come, they did in Jesus' day, they still do today, that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And don't you forget it. They afflict our communities. They afflict our nation. And bless God, it says, it's sad as it is at times, they infiltrate the church of God. And we all understand that. But don't you be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, there are five things I want you to understand about this principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. You reap where you sow.
Amen.
You reap more than you sow. You don't reap in the same season that you sow. And what you sow affects more than just you. Don't forget that. Those are very practical principles. And they're based on fundamentals. Now, just to move on very quickly. You know, there are people that have the idea that we're sowing seeds here in time. And at the judgment day, God's got a perfect record-keeping system. And what we've sown, we're going to be judged on what we've sown. And if it's been good enough, we'll reap eternal life in heaven. But if it falls short, we'll split hell wide open and doom will be our end. Well, I'll tell you, that's not what this is teaching. That's not what this is teaching. We reap what we sow. You know, I've been a farmer all of my life. I finally wised up and quit farming. Amen. Somebody asked my neighbor one time, he'd been to Georgia and bought some lottery tickets. Now, we don't have a lottery in Alabama. But about 8 miles up the road from my house, you can buy lottery tickets when you cross into Dade County, Georgia. And they asked him, what would you do if you win this lottery? He said, I'm going to farm till it's gone. Are y'all there? I'm just going to farm till it's gone. Well, I know people like that. But understand this, that what we sow, we shall reap. If I plant corn out there, I want to tell you one thing. When it comes up and bears fruit, it's not going to be cotton. All right? That's the principle. We reap what we sow. And if I plant corn out there in that field, I'm not going to reap it over there in another field. I'm going to reap it in the same place that I sow. That's a principle. The next principle is, I may sow one grain of corn in that field, but I'm going to reap more than that. It's going to bear more than that. That's the principle. And greater than that, if I sow that corn, if I plant it in the ground today, it's not going to come up and bear fruit today. It'll take a maturing process. It'll take a growing process. I'm not going to reap in the same season that I sow. And not only that, what you sow has more effect on more people than just you. All right, now I'm going to get to that. Now, let me just say this lest I forget it. If you don't like the harvest you're getting, you might ought to check what kind of seed you're sowing. That'd be good advice for you and everybody else. Now, I want to go back for just a little while. I can tell you about a lot of folks that sowed and reaped. You know, I can tell you about a man named David. One great example. I can tell you about a man named Jacob. The deceiver. Deceived his old blind daddy on his deathbed. Jacob reaped. David reaped. But I want to deal with one fellow today, and I want you to notice him in a special way, and his name was Achan. You can find him in the 7th and 8th chapters of the book of Joshua. Now remember that the children of Israel now have come across into the land of Canaan. God has promised them the land of Canaan, but he said, just as much of the land of Canaan is yours as the sole of your foot trods on. It was theirs.
And God was going to fight their battles for them. He sent hornets to drive out the enemy, and numbers of examples can be cited. And the Bible tells me that as Joshua began to conquer the land of Canaan, he came to a place called Jericho. And as Jericho was a walled Canaanite city, let me tell you how secure it was. The Bible tells me that Jericho was straightly shut up, that none went out and none came in. That's how secure that city was. Read Joshua 6 and 1. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given unto thee Jericho. I've given it into your hand." Now God said, it belongs to you. Here's what you got to do. He gave them some specific instructions of how to conquer the city. You know what they did? Why? Here's what he said. He said, "Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou shalt do it 6 days. On the seventh day, you'll go around it 7 times, and just exactly the way I'm telling you, on the seventh day, you have those priests to sound out a blast on a ram's horn, and the walls of this walled and secure city, they're going to fall down flat." Well, they followed explicitly those directions. And I want to tell you right now, that the walls of the city fell down flat. They conquered that Canaanite city. But you know what God told them to do? Don't you partake of any of those spoils in the city. They are forbidden for you. Don't you bring them to the camp of Israel. Because if you do, there will be consequences for sowing that seed. All right, now, notice what the Bible says. "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. And Joshua said unto two of the men that spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, and as ye swear unto her." If you'll go back and look, this woman named Rahab is numbered with the characters of the faith.
Right.
Don't tell me she wasn't a child of God. I'm telling you, she is numbered with the characters of the faith.
Yes, sir.
Read about her experience here. I'll not take time to do that. They burnt the city, and God told them, any man that rebuilds it is cursed.
Yep.
And the last verse of Joshua 6 says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." It was a good day for this old boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a good day for him. Oh, he is at the top of the ladder. God had blessed him. He had obeyed what God had said, and God had blessed him. But oh, listen to the very next verse. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi," and he goes on and gives his lineage right there, "they partook of the cursed thing, and it kindled the anger of the Lord against the whole nation." You see? What one man did affected more than just him. Don't you forget that. Listen to you folks today. A young man came in my office about a month ago. He said, "Mr. Harcrow, can I talk to you?" And I said, "You sure can." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I've lost my family." He said, "I've lost my home." He said, "Everything I've got is gone." And I had no idea about what he was talking about. I said, "Well, what in the world has happened to you?" He said,
I have been hooked on pornography since I was 16 years old, and he's 37. He said, I have tried to get rid of this addiction, but he said, I failed. And because of this ongoing thing, I've lost everything that I have. My wife, my family, my home, I am at rock bottom. Now, brothers and sisters, now listen, you young folks today, and you old folks for that matter. Don't tell me that can't happen in the church. It does. It happens every day in our communities. Things like that, that's just one of them. But things like that are so readily available. It oftentimes, little by little by little, creeps in to your life, to anybody else's life. It little by little, those kind of little seeds produce a terrible harvest. And don't you forget, you know what? One of the most corruptible things we have in this generation, that little thing you carry around on your side. I've got two of them. They keep up with me all the time, wherever I'm at. You can pull it up on your iPhone. Everything is right there. My daddy called it the devil in your pocket. And God knows that's the truth. Now, I know that some of those things that are necessary evils, and they were invented and they served a good purpose. But I want to tell you right now, oftentimes they're carried out of their bounds. And we have to be careful with it. You have to be careful with it. Because those little seeds oftentimes produce things that have a consequence on more than just you.
Right.
All right? Now I'm going to show you what happens here. They sent out and they began to look at a city called Ai. Very next thing. You know what Joshua said to the Lord? He said, well, Lord, they know you send many folks over here. He said, we've already took this Canaanite city. Just don't send very many of us. We'll wipe this thing out. This is no problem at all. But I want to tell you something. Achan had committed a trespass against the Lord. And what Joshua didn't see, the Lord saw. Achan committed a trespass. And here's what he said. He said, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold. I coveted them and took them. You see the progression? I saw, I coveted, I took. That's the way it is. Our eyes get us in trouble. Got David in trouble. It got Mother Eve in trouble.
Right.
I saw. I coveted. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I never coveted nothing. Give me a break, brother. Right. You see things all the time you want. I do. You know, there's a lot of things. I was driving over here a while ago and I saw a tractor sitting there. I wish that was mine. You know, I'm a fool for things like that. You know, you see things all the time. We covet things that we don't have. We covet farms. We covet things. We got a nature about us that's very easily covets everything that we see and many things that we don't need. We got a nature about us that tends that way. And that's not something new. Achan said, I saw, I coveted, and I took. Well, when Israel army went to Ai. There wasn't very many at Ai, but I want to tell you right now, they put the whole army of Israel to flight.
Right.
And Joshua couldn't figure out what the problem was. And he began to pray. He began to pray. He fell down on his face before the Lord. He said, Lord, what's happened? He said, we had such good success over here at Jericho, and now this puny crowd has ran off all
my good and my men of valor. They began to flee from the men of Ai. And he began to pray and he said, God, what's wrong? You know what God said? He said, there's sin in the camp.
Right.
Sin in the camp. He began to pray. You know, in a minute, somebody said, we need to pray all the time. You know what the Lord told Joshua? You've prayed enough. You get up. You get up. And here's what you do. You go and you get this man called Achan. You go and you get him. Here's what you do. You carry his family. You carry his possessions. You carry him and you carry him to the valley of Achor. You know what the word Achan means? You know what the name Achan means? Troubler. Troubler. You all know some folks like that, don't you? Troubler. I've known some preachers like that. Amen. I can talk about us. I don't know about you, but I've known a few preachers that were troublers. Trouble followers. God knows I don't want that reputation. You know, in my mind, somebody has times like that. Why? You know, it doesn't hurt folks to tell a lie sometime about a preacher. They'll tell something sometimes that's a half-truth that's worse than a lie. I'll give you that and I'll charge you. I'll be gone after dinner. But all I'm saying to you is that when Joshua began to pray, the Lord said, Joshua, you get up. You've prayed enough. Now you carry Achan and his family and all that he has, and you carry him to the valley of Achor. You carry this troubler to the valley of trouble. That's what the valley of Achor was, the valley of trouble. You know what they did? They stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire. They put them to death right there. There were consequences to what he did. The seed that he sowed brought a consequence that was unfavorable. He didn't get the consequence right when he took it. But God knew it and God saw it. In the valley of trouble is where it culminated. I'm convinced that when David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is talking about the valley of Achor. The valley of trouble. All of us get in trouble sometimes in the valley. We get in trouble like that. We really do. We have problems like that. That's something that's not uncommon to children of God. Now I want to give you one other principle about sowing and reaping. Dead men don't sow anything. It's live people. Therefore, this lesson is to the living.
Amen.
This lesson is to children of God.
Yeah.
It's not telling you if you'll sow the right kind of seed, you're going to reap eternal life. That's not what it's telling you. Eternal life doesn't come that way. Eternal life comes to you because you have been chosen in Christ before the world began, bought by the blood of Christ, justified by the faithful promises of God, and finally because of the faithfulness of God in Christ Jesus and through that suffering substitute, you'll be delivered one day to a place called heaven that's just as real as Cartersville, Georgia.
That's right.
That's the reason you'll be in heaven.
That's right.
I don't want to burst your bubble today, but God's faith is not in you. Your faith, as weak as it is, God's faith is not in you. God's faith's never been in you, but God's faith and God's faithfulness was in the faithful work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it.
It's not in you. You can do the best you can do. It's not enough. You can do the best you can do. You can give away all you've got. Be as benevolent as you can. It's not enough to satisfy a holy God. God demands perfection. And Jesus Christ is the only one who could meet that condition. And God accepted that sacrifice to the degree that he never required another sacrifice. And that's the reason you'll be in heaven. That's the reason you'll be in heaven. Well, preacher, this says... And you notice here that Achan now is reaping what he sowed. Listen now about what's about to take place. He says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
I want to tell you something, folks. That boy that came in my office had sown to the flesh, and he was reaping of the flesh. You need to hear this.
Yeah.
You young folks, you need to hear it. You old folks, you need to hear it. He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. It will bear fruit in its season. It did in David's life. Yes, sir. Did. Check it out. That old fellow that came over there and put his bony finger in his face and said, "You're the man.
Yeah, right.
You're the man." The God forgave him, but the sword never departed from his house.
Right.
Never departed from his house.
Right.
Jacob, when he died, you know what he said? He said, "I've not attained to the days and years of my fathers." He knew he wasn't the man his father was. He knew that he had, he saw his children. He saw and recognized that the seed that he'd sown now has come up and borne fruit. He was a child of God. He was gathered to his people when he died. But he sowed some bad seed. Now listen to this. What the Bible says here. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, preacher, that sounds to me like if I just sow to the Spirit, I'm going to get eternal life. That's not what it's saying.
No.
That's not what it's saying. No. When he says here, he that soweth to the Spirit, remember, live people are sowing. Now, you know, if a man's dead, he ain't going to sow. You know, let me just tell you this right now. That by nature, you're dead. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I just don't understand that." I don't care whether you understand it or not. You understand, by nature, you are dead to spiritual things. By nature, you cannot apprehend, you cannot contemplate spiritual things in a spiritual way. The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, that man that is able to sow spiritual seed has got a nature about him that identifies with that. Sowing this to this particular sense of life everlasting is not making you a child of God. You're doing that because you're already a child of God. You're doing that. Read Matthew 25. About those that bore those fruits, you see. Now that doesn't mean that children of God don't bear some bad fruit. They do. But I'll never believe that he does that continually and is happy about it. I want to confess to you one thing. And I want you to get this. I want you to get it good. If being born again completely killed you to the love of sin, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, I must confess to you, I've never been born again.
Amen.
I've still got a touch of it.
That's right. That's right.
I've still got a touch of it. And I want to tell you right now, if there was an example I can give you, it's the Apostle Paul himself in Romans chapter 7. He said, "I find then another law in my members, that when I would do good, evil is always present with me." You see, there was something about him that still had a touch of that natural man that he understood so much about. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season, you see, the season's going to come. Let us not be weary in well doing now. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap." Not that we may reap, we shall reap. "If we faint not." Sometimes I get discouraged. Brother Harold talked about churches closing. I get discouraged about that. You know, I can carry you to churches that
50 years ago almost when I started preaching. They're not there anymore. Fence built around it, hay stacked them. Don't tell me that's not so. I can carry you to them right this afternoon when we get through. I want you to understand today, I get concerned about the apathy of God's people. I don't know and I don't care. That's the attitude of so many. We live in a day today where the spiritual worship of God has almost disappeared from our nation as a whole. And I'll tell you, I'm convinced today the only reason that the nation stands today is because of those people like you that are here this morning. The only reason that our nation stands,
that's right,
and the only reason that it will stand, is because of the faithful,
right,
like you.
Right.
And in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. In due season, God will bless. We may not live to see it. We may not always see what we'd like to see. But in due season, sometimes the wheels of God's providence turn slow. I can imagine when Joseph was in prison, and I'll wind this up in 4 minutes. I can imagine when Joseph was in prison, he could say, why in the world am I here? Doesn't look like there's any light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm going to tell you, God was at work. Amen? God was at work. Thank God for the providence of God. Thank God for His providential dealings. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. I think you mentioned it last night, or some of you brethren. Listen, I don't believe that all of God's children are going to persevere. Some of them fall by the wayside like Lot and so many others. But I want to tell you, our attitude and our mind and the general principle of sowing and reaping is we ought to persevere.
That's right.
That just means keep on keeping on.
Yes.
We ought to continue in the things which we have learned.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why? When they stoned Achan and all his there in the valley of Achor, they piled up a pile of stones, and that heap was still there for many generations. Do you understand? God said in the book of Hosea in chapter 2 and verse 15, do you know what He said? I'll give you the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Get that? I'll give you the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Right in the middle of the trouble, I'm going to give you a door of hope. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you right now, when you were steeped in sin, dead in sin, hell deserving, God would have been perfectly just and right in dooming you and damning you to hell forever. Right in the middle of all that trouble, I want to tell you, He gave you a door of hope. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And in that today, we can take courage. In our sowing and reaping, we have that. Yes, sir. I want to encourage you to sow good seed. I know that we have some tares among the wheat on occasion. I understand that. But I want to tell you right now, my prayer is for you, and especially you young folks that are here today. Let me just tell you this. If the grass looks a little greener over on the other side, the water bill's a lot higher. Amen. If the grass looks greener over there, the water, especially like we've been having some dry wells, I'll tell you, the water bill's a lot higher. There's consequences to our actions. It doesn't change God's love towards you. But I want to tell you one thing. There are consequences to what you do. And I pray, God, today that you'll sow to the Spirit. I pray that you'll remember these principles. And I don't have time to go into all of them in detail. But I want you to take them. I want you to use them. Because in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Yeah.